Fairbanks Radio's update with Andy Wint.
First of May, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Tuesday, 15th of November, 2022 from Max Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man and background to that news and sport and business, Sea Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person tonight. Health Minister sackings to be referred to the Timbal Standards Committee. Manx farmers raise concern over the meat plant for years. Trade union recommend offshore wind for unionised jobs. Tim Glover MHK says he was only doing his job. And Port Erin commissioners have called a by-election for the 8th of December.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fast Amai, Siobhan Fletcher.
Fast Amai. Nobles Hospital has put in place what it calls well-defined plans after the admittance of a number of seriously and critically ill patients over the last 24 hours put its emergency care teams under pressure. People are being encouraged to use Ramsay's Minor Illnesses and Injuries Unit until tomorrow and only attend the emergency department at Nobles if they need to. The cost of a pint of Manx milk is set to increase by 5p from January next year. Arbury, Castletown and Maloo MHK Tim Glover says he would like an apology from Chief Minister Alfred Cannon after he accused him of moaning from the back benches. And people in the south of the island are being urged to raise issues of concern with their local police officers tonight. The Southern Neighbourhood Policing Team is holding a community meeting at Castle Rushen High School at 6:30pm. Further afield, the UK Housing Secretary criticised landlords after a two-year-old boy died as a result of mould in his family's flat, saying it beggars belief. The Prime Minister has refused to apologise for the economic turmoil caused by his predecessor's mini-budget. England's footballers have landed in Qatar ready for the World Cup, and Tesco's website is back up after it crashed because of demand for Christmas delivery slots. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramaya, thank you, Siobhan, from the Ronalds Way Met Office. There was a warning for locally strong winds for the North Irish Sea. State of sea is slight or moderate. And the weather this evening will be dry. Some showers later in the night, though. Lowest temperature, 8 degrees Celsius. The showers are going to knock around tomorrow morning around dawn for Ukraine. Mostly dry with isolated showers and sunny intervals tomorrow. Top temperature, 12 degrees Celsius. Some showers through the night into Thursday, minimum 8 Celsius. And for Jordan, showers merging into periods of rain up to 11 degrees. Tide's on the way out. Low water, 25 past 10 tonight. High tide, 24 minutes past 4 tomorrow morning. Sunrise, 13 minutes before 8. And tomorrow morning's low water, 13 minutes past 10.
Manx Glass and Glazing can produce bespoke splashbacks for your kitchen in any colours. Speak to the team on 674 573.
The Chief Minister will refer the handling of the sacking of the Health Minister to the Tynwald Standards Committee. Backbenchers today called for an investigation into the matter, something Alfred Cannon MHK agreed is necessary.
I think the appropriate thing now, Phil, is to refer this properly to Tynwald Member Standards. I will do that transparently in terms of my letter, which I will intend to try and write in the next 24 hours. And then I think the appropriate thing is for a proper investigation to be undertaken rather than me sit here and start passing judgments when clearly the Tynwald members want some form of independent verification as to what has gone on. And obviously what Rob had to say today was very serious, and it needs now a proper proper look at.
Do you understand, perhaps, that, and maybe, I'll specifically ask you about the jibe, perhaps, the political jibe that you made towards the questioner, Tim Glover, talking about him moaning from the back benches. Do you think that's a little unfair?
Well, look, sometimes in the heat of debate, as you know, sometimes things get a bit pressured, and look, you make a jibe, possibly a little bit unfairly, but You know, equally you give and take on a fairly equal basis. I don't think that's the thrust of the story today at all, actually. I think there's quite some serious matters at stake here, and I think we need to really talk about the big issues and not get distracted into petty politics.
Manx farmers have consistently raised concerns about the Isle of Man's meat plant over the past few years, according to the MNFU president Ian Parsons, who said persistent issues place financial pressure on the industry, which in turn affects farmers' mental health.
First and foremost, the most important point is what effect it's having on the agricultural industry in the Isle of Man, you know, the red meat production specifically. Farmers with the long lead-in times into the plant. Farmers, this Monday, if we entered stock for the plant, it wouldn't be taken till about mid-January. So therefore, that payment wouldn't be on farm till middle of February 2023. We've had massive rise in input costs, as you know, many a household has as well, over the last 12 months. So it's just creating a massive cash shortage within the industry. I think it's really frustrating because this has been happening quite regularly in the autumn period, and we've tried to open dialogue with the plant to try and rectify these issues over a number of years, but obviously it's having a far greater impact this year due to the, you know, just the financial state of the industry.
Surely that just leaves our farmers in quite a difficult situation then.
It does, and it creates massive both financial pressure and mental health pressure on the industry, just trying to juggle it all. And it's even more frustrating this last number of weeks when we've even had butchers and retailers contacting us asking, is there a shortage of beef on farm, because they've been told that they can't get the product for Christmas. So that somehow just makes it all so much worse as well, when the consumer can't even get the product that they want.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source, and Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
Faster by, good evening. A motorist suffered minor injuries today after driving into a fuse box in Ramsey. Firefighters from Ramsey and Laxey attended the crash on Queen's Drive, Ramsey, at 1:45. Manx Utilities isolated the box so the driver could be safely extracted from the vehicle, and it was treated by medical staff. Engineers are now working to restore supplies in the area as soon as possible. A trade union believes transitioning to offshore wind energy would create substantial unionised jobs. Prospect says although it has members in high carbon industries, it's working to transition them to renewable sectors as part of the global effort to net zero. Jess Stewart is the National Secretary.
Prospects as a trade union is committed to net zero, and clearly we are heavily involved in nuclear within the UK and are supportive of nuclear new build, but also the significant decommissioning work that's taking place at sites such as Sellafield. And the search for a geological disposal facility for the UK's nuclear waste that's been built up over the last 70 years. But on top of that, we're also looking at just transition for people who are working in significant carbon industries into renewables. We've recently, as a trade union, signed a recognition agreement with Ørsted, a Danish organisation who are the largest wind farm operators across the country. In my particular area in the northwest, there are two locations at Barrow, which is just across the water from here, and also Birkenhead, similarly just across the water. I recognise there's a debate raging on the island about offshore wind farms, but what I would say is that they are providing, or they can provide, high quality unionised jobs and can be part of the solution, along with other renewable energies and carbon neutral energies, to achieve what needs to be a worldwide ambition of moving to net zero.
Politicians working within the Department of Health and Social Care say they utterly refute a number of charges levelled at them in Tynwald today. MHK's Michelle Haywood and Joni Farragher, MLC Tanya August Hansen, have hit back after the sacking of Rob Callister as minister. The details from Tessa Hawley.
In the courts this morning, permission was granted for an urgent question on the impact recent ministerial changes have had on the stability of government. It led to the sacked minister, Onkin MHK Rob Callister, getting to his feet to defend himself.
And where was the Chief Minister's integrity when I brought to his attention allegations of bullying? Where was the Chief Minister's integrity when I brought mistakes made within the department? Where was the Chief Minister's integrity when I brought behavioural problems with my department members? I'm absolutely appalled by the Chief Minister's comments this morning.
And that defence has led to the three political members releasing the letter they sent to the Chief Minister on the 2nd of November, highlighting issues within their department. In it, they tell Alfred Cannon they've become aware of mounting unsettlement amongst staff, depleted morale, and evident uncertainty. The letter states that public service staff are concerned that their positions are untenable in the current environment, and adds, on occasion, in the midst of board discussions or staff interactions, where opinions can and do diverge, communication styles have been less than amicable than they ought to, and as a consequence, behaviours have come into question as pressures mount, whilst legacy and current issues surface. Today, the members say they had endeavoured to deal with matters within the political meetings within DHSC, but that approach proved impossible. The members add that they're sorry that Mr. Collister feels they've acted in any way unprofessionally throughout what they've described as this episode, adding, "We have kept our counsel until now in order to allow all parties to maintain their dignity, but the outburst in Tymwald Court today levelled a number of charges at us which are unfounded and which we wish to utterly refute."
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The battleship Ben McCree departed Heysham at 7 minutes past two. She'll be into the inner harbour in the next 10-15 minutes or so. Departing this evening at 7:45, arriving in Heysham at 11:30. The 02:15 departure from Heysham arrives back to Douglas tomorrow morning at 6, and the morning departure 8:45, Ben McCree to Heysham.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
Arbury Castle, Town and Maloo MHK, Tim Glover says he wants an apology from the Chief Minister after Alfred Cannon accused him of moaning from the backbenchers today. Tim Glover insists he wasn't moaning, he was just doing his job as a backbench MHK.
Just first of all, it wasn't just about the sacking of Rob Collister, it was the Harlem Shuffle effect that we've had in the Council of Ministers for the last 6 months or so. Straight answer, no. I thought we saw the worst of the Chief Minister today.
The Chief Minister, though, did list a substantial amount of achievements, and to be fair on the Chief Minister, I think you can't deny that his government is doing pretty well. I mean, there was a whole list that was of really big issues that have been dealt with.
And I've said in previous media interviews, it was an opportunity for him to show what government had done, but it was also, and he missed this time and time again, it was about the number of changes that we've had within the Council of Ministers. Now, we all fought the last election on a mandate of transparency. I didn't see that from the Chief Minister today. He ducked that question. There will be an investigation now after the former Health Minister said what he said on the floor, so I'm going to be careful how far I go with comments, but it's our right as a backbencher to hold the Chief Minister and the government to account. We're not moaning from the backbenchers, we're holding him to account. He was wildly wrong with that, and I would like an apology for that.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 16 minutes before six, Land Security swung to a loss in the first half of its financial year as soaring interest rates triggered a sharp decline in the value of its multi-billion pound property portfolio. The portfolio, which includes the Bluewater Shopping Centre in Kent and Piccadilly Lights in central London, fell in value by 2.9% to £10.9 billion between April and September this year. Analysts at Goldman Sachs last month predicted that come summer 2024, values of offices, shops and warehouses in the UK would be 15 to 20% lower than they were this summer. And for a full daily market report, go to ramseycrookhall.com.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookhall.
UK and European markets advanced after another report signalled that US inflation could be slowing. US stocks surged after that new inflation data. Oil rose and gold priced lower. The numbers now from Ramsey Crookhall at the close in London. The FTSE 100 down 0.2% at 7,369. The DAX in Frankfurt up almost 0.5% at the close at 14,378. Currently New York City, the Dow Jones Industrials up almost 0.7% at 33,000. 3,760. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index up 2.5% at the moment, 11,471. And the S&P 500 in the Midwest in Chicago up 1.5% at 4,014. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling currently trading at $1.18.6, €1.14.4, and 20 South African rand 50.3. And finally, in commodities, gold up fractionally 0.02%, but up $1,769 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude is up 0.7% at $93.10.
You've got an investment plan?
Yeah, Mike set it up.
But don't you need loads of money to do that?
Not this one. It's called Shearwater from Ramsay Crook Hall, and you pay in monthly as little as £100. So it's like saving regularly, really helping us invest in the future. For a house, or the kids' education.
£100 a month? I could easily do that.
You should. The sooner you start, the better.
Invest in your future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsay Crook Hall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookhall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
Fast my good evening. It's 14 minutes before 6. Residents in the south of the Isle of Man have the opportunity to quiz police officers this evening about issues of concern in their area. The Southern Neighbourhood Policing Team is holding a community meeting at Castle Rushen High School. Inspector Paul Kemp told Manx Radio he hopes you find it useful.
Castle Rushen at from 6.30, and that'll be till about 8.45pm. What we're looking for, as with all the meetings, is the public turn up and they tell us all about the issues that are happening in their areas, and we'll also be looking to give them a little bit of perspective on what we're doing since we've reformed the neighbourhood policing teams into the current format, how we're out there, what we're trying to achieve, and also part of that is aligning what we're trying to achieve with what the public expect from us. So they tell us where their issues are, and we can either explain some of them, or potentially we can say, right, we weren't aware of that, and then look to address them. And then what we'll look to do is we'll run these meetings again in the future and hopefully come back with some results from any concerns that have come out. And I think from where we were in January 2021 to where we are now, I think we've achieved quite a lot, but we aren't finished yet. And this is why we're holding community meetings. This is why we need to know from the public, where do they need us to go? What do they need us to do? We hold a lot of, there's a lot of events that we're involved in as well, which you can see on social media. You'll see the likes of PC Loader involved in a competition on the beach last year, which got much merriment from his colleagues. The community teams are out there doing all the really good engagement stuff, but there's also a hard edge to that as well. So the other things that we're doing, which is still community policing, is once we've got intelligence that we have drug dealing in a certain area, we'll raise a warrant, we'll go in and go and execute that warrant, and people will end up being arrested, and hopefully we'll reduce the issue in that area. So there's a lot of facets to community policing, but from where we were to where we are now, I think we really are going the right direction at the moment.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fast am I, Rhiann Evans.
Fast am I, very good evening. Well, history was made for the Isle of Man at the weekend in the world of jiu-jitsu. This weekend saw the adult competition squad from Gracie Barra Isle of Man's jiu-jitsu team fight at the IBJJF European Championships in Rome, one of the highest level tournaments in the sport. Alana Pritchard became the Isle of Man's first ever IBJJF European champion on Friday, winning gold in her division, adding this to her British champion title, which she gained earlier this year. For the others, it was an unfortunate tournament for Miles Jochen. He lost out by 1 point in his first round of his division. Catherine Moore came away with a silver medal in her divisions, and Hayley Curtis took bronze in her weight division after losing out in her semi-final to the eventual overall winner. However, she then entered the open weight category, which saw her come up against an opponent 20 kilograms heavier in the semi-final. Curtis held her own, winning the match, which led her to ultimately taking home a well-earned silver medal. The final division match for the squad was Colin Everdon, who is one of the lead coaches at Gracie Barra Academy. Known for his takedown defence, Colin put this to good practice in the quarterfinals of his division, which saw him leave with a bronze medal in hand. And there was more success for the Isle of Man at the weekend, this time in baton twirling. The Manx squad competed in the British Baton Twirling Sports Association's annual Audrey O'Neill Foundation Cup. The national team performed for the very first time in the baton twirling freestyle team event and had the most impressive debut a team could ask for. dancing to Ellen Vannin and also in a POM group event, the teams came out winning both sections. As well as this, Carly Corkish was awarded Overall Rising Star by the judges, and Maisie Belcher-Smith was awarded Talented Athlete for her juvenile section.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound at Ronald's Way, the 525 Logan Air from Manchester won't be until 6:15 tonight. 7:30 EasyJet from Gatwick's on time. And the 528 Logan Air from Liverpool returning patient transfer planes delayed till 8:30. And the 8:05 inbound from London City won't be in till 8:25. Outbound, the 4:45, Emerald Airways to Dublin didn't go until 5:30. Next outbound is the 6:00 patient transfer Logan Air to Liverpool, delayed till 7:15. Then it's the 8:10 EasyJet back to London Gatwick. On the roads, if it hasn't yet, it will be soon around Crean's Drive in Ramsey after that driver drove into a fuse box. They're trying to get that all sorted out at the moment. Ballacalawi Road's closed for resurfacing north of Port Arum. Temporary lights on Ballinard Road between Johnny Watterson's Lane and the Scullog Road for pipe laying. In Douglas, also that hold up on Victoria Street with the new pedestrian crossing going in. Large delays, especially exiting Marks and Spencer car park. Series of temporary closures on the Regaby West Road for water replacement. And you've got temporary lights on the A5 near KWC for work on the pavements, also in Castletown. Castle Street's one way northbound for building work. And in Peel, temporary closures around East Gear and the Prom. At the moment, the Prom's closed between Manx Utilities Pumping Station and Weatherglass Corner.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with
Quayside! Got to say congratulations, the winners of the 2022 Isle of Man Directors of the Year Award, sponsored by Lloyds Bank International, were at the Comis last Friday. Congratulations to large business MD David Hester of Swagelock, small medium enterprise Jane Hartley of PDMS, the young director was Catriona Watt of PDMS, startup director was Bryn Griffith of PoundToken.io, third sector Anne Mills, chief exec of Hospice Isle of Man, the non-exec of the year was Bill Mummery, sustainability director was Simon Nicholas at KPMG, and Equality, Diversity and Inclusion. He won all three. Sean Christian, Managing Director of Canada Life. Port Erin Commissioners has issued a notice for a by-election to take place for two new members. It's on the 8th of December and six people are standing to fill the vacancies. Here's our local democracy reporter, Emma Draper.
Port Erin Commissioners has issued a notice for a by-election to take place for two new members. It will be held on the 8th of December to fill the vacant seats and six people are standing for election. The six candidates are John Anslow, Adele Bettridge, Dawn Curry, Hayley Fox, David Sylvester and Ian Swindles. Currently, only two people have put out public statements telling residents what they are standing for. John Anslow has stated on Facebook that he will be focusing on the things that bring people to Port Erin and things residents want to see tackled. For example, the Cozy Nut Cafe, the recycling centre at the amenity site and the need to encourage and support local traders. Hayley Fox, who was previously a housing officer at the Commissioners, has also made a statement on Facebook saying she feels that she would be able to offer a balanced opinion on problems that the village faces. The Local Democracy Reporting Service is in the process of contacting all the candidates. The by-election was sparked after the resignation of Dawn Sim earlier this month, and residents can vote at Port Erin Commissioner's office on Brighton Street from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m.
A government scheme using grants to encourage homeowners to reduce carbon emissions is being relaunched after a very poor take-up previously. There were over 2,000 applications under the Green Living Grant, but only 87 grants resulted. The Enterprise Minister, Laurie Hooper, MHK, says he had doubts about it from the start.
When this scheme was launched back in July 2021, I think a number of us, myself included, stood up in Tim Alden and said, this is going to be problematic, the scheme has a lot of problems, it's not going to work as well as you'd like it to work. And over the last year, we've seen that play out in reality. So there have been some changes to the scheme already to make it a bit more flexible, to improve some aspects of it. But the key part, I think, that's always needed to be fixed was how, if you've got the audit done, the audit recommends certain things to be done in your house. but actually, because of the software that's being used, because of the nature of some Manx properties, some of those things actually don't quite work for you. And there may be other things which would improve your home insulation, your home energy efficiency, that for whatever reason aren't included on that certificate. So the main change we're making to the scheme now is to break that link. So if you've had the audit is there to assess how efficient is your house at the moment to see whether you qualify. So I think the scheme says you have to have a D or below rating. So the audit is there for that purpose. What we're now saying is, as well as the items listed on your audit certificate, there's a list of things which are in the guidance document which we will also support. So even if it's not specifically listed on your audit list, because it's in the guidance, if you want to go and have that funded, we will support that.
I'm just thinking of Joe Public listening to this, audit lists, things like that. It's still going to sound fairly complicated, isn't it?
It's actually not. So you do have to apply. So you apply, the guys will come out. I had one of these audits done myself. They turned up, they're in the house for maybe half an hour, did the scans, did the audits, and then I got the certificate through quite shortly afterwards. It's quite a straightforward process. The next step then is to go find your quotes, get your contractors in, and then apply for the actual grant itself. So it is relatively straightforward. It should be low impact in terms of how much effort you've got to put into this. The main reasons we're making these changes is because we want to make it easier for people to access it. We want it to make it more flexible, to give people the ability to actually not just get a bit of paper in their hand that tells them how efficient or inefficient their house is, but actually help them fund, you know, home insulation, new doors, draft exclusion, whatever it is that helps reduce their energy bills.
That's it for Update tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher, producer Rhiann Evans. Oh, by the way, just a few highly commended certificates at that Isle of Man Director of the Year Awards last Friday. Dan Sowerby of ProStyle Construction got Young Director. Clara Isaac of Recycle Collect. Sustainability was Greg Easton of Capital International, and Jay Reid of Man Waste Recycling got Startup, Small, Medium Enterprise and Sustainability. Stick around after the news at 6 o'clock tonight. Kiri Kermode and Simon Clark with Countryside. I'm Andy Wint, back with Wednesday's Update tomorrow evening at 5:30. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
WINT.